learned a timely lesson from Thérèse of Lisieux this week. Many of us know 20th century Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. Her short life was and is influential in the Catholic Church, and also for many of us who seek simplicity and practicality in our spiritual lives. I won't go into much detail about Thérèse, as she is not the person on whose sainthood I have been meditating or whose saintliness I want to share with you. But I will share with you this timely lesson. During her short life, Thérèse spoke out against some of the claims made concerning the lives of saints written in her day. Of them, she said, "We should not say improbable things or things we do not know. We must see their real and not their imagined lives." I don't know about which saints Thérèse spoke here, but in her wisdom, I hear a reproach for myself. As I think about my grandfather, beloved saint, whose life I want to share with you, I wonder, what am I projecting onto his story? What am I forgetting? What has been lost and what gained in the years since his flesh was full of the goodness and vigor so unique to him? I am afraid of both memories gone and illusions made about his life, his precious life, so enormously influential and yet so small, so soft. And so now, here, I will make an attempt only to share a real, not imagined life. An honest depiction of my grandfather would be this: gentle, just, twinkling, grieved. My grandfather was a deeply devout Catholic. His life of faith was not merely pageantry or the right thing to do. It was a lived celebration of God's faithfulness, creativity, immediacy, redemption. Perhaps he was so formative in my life of faith because he was so intentional in making every word and action a reflection of his faith. Apparent to all who knew him, my grandfather sought congruency between his inner and outer selves. In the 1940s in Detroit, my grandpa was a young adult, a young white adult, navigating race riots and the community's stiff resistance to blacks moving into the neighborhood. My grandpa had black friends. In fact, he loved and respected his friends so much that when a restaurant owner told him that his black friend wouldn't be served, they left together. This is not insignificant to me. A young white kid who was not merely well-intentioned nor content to be ideologically opposed to racism and yet indulgent to the popular voices of racists, how desperately I yearn to so boldly lay down my privilege. In this act, he has sent ripples far and wide through this bloodline that we share, joined with the blood we shed with our black brothers and sisters, and covered by the blood that was shed once and for all. And while I did not know him as a young man, the story of his standing with his friend in that restaurant tells me of a person determined to unite his internal convictions with his outward actions. Soon after, my grandpa and my grandma were married. He was Italian, she is Irish. Opposites attract, they say. Together, they had 6 kids, lots of adventures, and every Wednesday and Sunday, 1 Manhattan each. My grandfather was a devoted husband and father, a hardworking engineer. All of these things are so simple in their truth. So relatable, perhaps. And while I'm tempted to skip ahead to the more distinct parts of my grandfather's life, I want to pause here and remember that our quotidian rhythms are themselves of God. In the simplicity of teaching children to read, returning to work on Monday, keeping a home, making a cocktail for our spouse, we rest in the truth that God holds all things, and we need not save the world today. The older I get, the more I realize that this kind of rest takes a saintly trust indeed. In his latter years, my grandfather developed the hobby of woodworking, becoming a near expert. It was his mode of participation in creation and generosity. For every granddaughter, he made a jewelry box. For his church, he built an altar. For his own enjoyment, he built 3 violins, now held in the humming hands of my cousins, and played at each of our weddings. He and my father volunteered regularly for Habitat for Humanity. It was as if his soul sang to use his gifts for others and to create in the image of his creator. When I'm tempted to undermine my gifts, I remember him. When I'm tempted to believe that my energy and abilities depend on my youthfulness, I remember him. In his joy, my grandfather was thorough. In his grief, he was honest. When my father died at the age of 48, my grandfather graciously shared his woundedness with all of us. He wept with us. He prayed with us. I'm grateful to have been modeled a grief unabashed. For what life of faith is true without grief? And what grief would dare come out from its hiding place without first being invited by another? My grandfather died 5 years ago. He grew very sick before his death, and I stood with my cousins beside his bed in the hospital before he passed. Due to the illness or the medicine or both, he was very faint. In our presence, though, he stirred. "Who is with me?" he asked. The three of us named ourselves, one standing on each of his sides and one at his feet. The head of his bed was pushed up to the wall, and yet he asked, "And who stands behind me?" We stood quietly, wondering with him. His body was but embers of the fire that once burned, but there his spirit twinkled in the thin place between heaven and earth. I wonder if what Therese of Lisieux was so graciously reminding us was that saints need not be made into great conquerors to be our heroes. They need not be made into spiritual nobility to light our way. For if we look at their lives as they were truly lived, small and willful, we will gain a hope, an understanding, a vision of the mercy of Christ. And what more do we need from the lives of our saints?